You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
But here's what I want to talk to you about today, second wind. The definition of a second wind is renewed energy or endurance. And a lot of times in the life of a Christian, the life of a church, you get going along, especially this time of year. It's great weather, you know, it's kind of, let's get outside, we'll do the God thing in the fall, or we'll pick up where we left off later. And you just kind of get this thing, I'm just going to slow down and chill, and your metabolism almost spiritually goes down, and you just, it's like people hibernate or something. And I'm going to encourage you today, not just for your sake, but for the sake of people around you, to kind of get a second wind. You say, well, I don't think I can keep going. But whatever you do, don't give up. Sooner or later, in a race like this, you're going to need a second wind. Look at how it's referred to in Hebrews 12, verse 1. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us look. Run with endurance, or patience you may have, the race that is set before us. Run with patience. This is not a sprint. It is a cross-country race, guys, and you need to pace yourself. And it's amazing how many people, they jump into church, get the God thing going, and they get all hyped up like going to camp or something. Everything's, yeah, God, 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 God. And then reality smacks them in the face. And they go, wow, I can't do this. Pace yourself. Don't burn out. And the thing in the conversations that I've had with people that's hit me is this. A lot of people that are raised with this God thing in church, church was something you did for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half a week. You got it done. You got out and you went back to your normal life. That's not church according to the New Testament. Church in the New Testament is 24/7. You don't punch your clock on Sunday and walk away and go, whoo, glad that's over. Now I can go back and party or do whatever I do normally. Church is a body. It's a people. It's not a place you gather on Sunday. Now, we are the church, and we gather in this place to worship God together, but the church doesn't just gather. It goes. And it gets out there, and the real challenge and why these things are so important, you'll get some encouragement, you'll get some challenge, you'll say, okay, let's go back. This is the huddle, guys, the game's out there. And when you get out of here, you get out there and you get in a situation tonight, tomorrow morning at work, Tuesday, Wednesday, you got an ethical situation, some kind of decision to make. Guys, that's when church happens. When you've got to say, I'm going to do the God thing or I'm going to do my thing. Because frankly, people are not interested in having God for one day, especially if they were raised with that. They want to see people in the world who have God and Christianity Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's what makes it appealing, when they see your Christianity working in and through you today, tomorrow, every day, in every situation. So he says, run with patience this race that is set before you. Let's just keep reading. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Why think about Jesus? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Sometimes you just get discouraged. You think, I'm the only one doing the right thing. Everybody, it's Friday night. Everybody's going to party. Everybody's going to do their thing that you used to do with them maybe. And they call you up, hey, you want to go? And you say, you know, yeah, I'd love to be with you, but I can't be with you and do what you're going to do because that's just not where I am anymore. And it's hard. You get discouraged. You're going to grow weary sometimes. You're going to need somebody to call and say, you know what? Go with us. If you're trying to do the right thing, guys, and you're feeling lonely, then call everybody else you know that might be in the same situation and see if they'll go with you and go do something wholesome, something really fun that you remember doing the next day. That'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? You know, you almost have to have a designated observer, not driver. So the next day you go, we had fun, right? Tell me we had fun. You know, somebody just to witness the whole thing, because most people can't remember. They had so much fun, it's just a blur, you know. You need some encouragement. You need people around you. And I say this to people, you know, say, well, I can worship God by myself out under a tree. But you can't find that biblically. It's not that it can't happen. Sooner or later, if you're doing the Christian, biblical, godly thing, you're going to find yourself here or somewhere gathered with other believers, worshiping God, singing, encouraging, doing this thing. And when you do this thing, you're going to find yourself living differently out there. I've told people who call, you know, somebody doesn't show up. Maybe you missed church 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe you're getting sucked back into the world and the old patterns and the old tapes are playing. You're getting back there with the old friends. Something's going on. I say to people, don't call them and ask them, where were you? Ask them, how are you? The issue is not whether you are in church. The issue is whether you're a part of the church and involved. And it really has more to do with how you are than where you are. Because if you are doing okay, you're going to be in certain places with God's people. Does that make sense? All right, let's turn to Philippians 1. You cannot, if you read the Bible for any length of time, you're going to read some emotion into these words. Paul is writing to this church at Philippi. He loves these people. He is concerned about these people. These are not just some numbers in a book, a mass of people. These are individual people that he knows and cares about. And he says, let's pick up with verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I think of you and remember you, I thank God. Thank you for those people in Philippi. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from this day until now. Look at verse 6. He says, writing this, these words to them, being confident of this very thing. He says, I know this about you and I know this about God, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. People say, well, what about old so-and-so? They became a Christian, they got baptized, they were here for a while, they're gone. Let's say, let me tell you something. God finishes what he starts. You may show up here, get all, you know, godified or whatever you want to call it. You know, you're all cranked for God and you're here and rah, 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 and you're in the pile, then boom, you disappear. And somebody, oh, I guess it didn't take. Let me tell you something. If God gets in you, he doesn't get out, you can't get away. You say, but nobody's around that person. They're isolated. Let me tell you something. It's insider trading. It is the most unfair thing on the planet. Because if you've got a family member, somebody out there that you can't get to, you bounce it from heaven, you get inside. When you talk to somebody, you get to their ears, their mind, whatever. But you have the God of the universe through prayer that goes down inside their soul, their heart, their mind, and he can make them miserable for months without you even being around. Now, that's not his plan to make them miserable, but I'll tell you something. If you're running from God, you're going to be miserable. And it's a good thing you're miserable. And when you pray for somebody, you're tracking them wherever they go. They can be on the other side of the planet. You can't get away from God. So he says here, I'm confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's going to be finished. It will be finished. Look down at verse 9, same chapter. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That's what I pray will happen with you. And interesting, it's not just about knowledge and discernment. The issue here is love. And there are plenty of people who can quote you scripture. They know what the Greek word is, all these things. But they don't have any love for each other. And he says, I want your love to abound more and more. The great thing to me about the Bible is it gives you indicators. If you want to know where you are spiritually or how things are going, if things are working, your love is going to abound more and more. You know, people tell you, you get married and when it's working, you find yourself, you know, 11 years, whatever, down the road, you find yourself loving this person more than you did when you got married. It just doesn't seem possible. How can you be more attracted? And listen to this. You think, well, I need some new thrill in my life. I don't know how this works, but I am more attracted to my wife now than I was 11, 12 years ago. And you people say, oh, no, you got to get a new model. You know, it's a new model year. We got to get us a new model. The excitement's gone. You're not trying it this way. You're not trying it God's way. It is a weird deal, I'll tell you that. But this love abounds more and more, he says, in knowledge and all discernment. You're going to have more information, truth. What does the information do? It shows you what's right and wrong. Then with that knowledge, you get discernment and say, well, here's where I can apply it. Here's where I know what to do that's right and wrong. The love's got to grow. The information you have about God and this whole thing increases. And then your discernment in life situation comes around where you say, you know what? I used to be able to do this. I can't anymore because the book says this. I trust what God says to be the right thing. So I'm going to discern here that I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this. And your life is going to change as a result of that. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. by your life you prove or approve the things that are excellent, that are worth doing, that are good things, and that you may be sincere and without offense. You know what makes people crazy out there that are looking for God? It's hypocrites. Probably the number one answer I hear people that say, well, I don't go to church and I don't do the God thing is because all the hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? It's somebody who says one thing and does another. In 1 John it says, you know, the man that says, I love God in one breath and he hates his brother, God says you're a liar. That's what the Bible calls you, a liar. If you say you love God and you hate your brother, a God who you can't see, you don't even love your brother you can't see, he says you're a liar. That's pretty strong. That's the kind of stuff that drives people away from church, away from God. It's hypocritical people who say one thing and do another. He says here that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. All of it is so God looks good. It's not about me looking good. It's about God doing something in me and through me. So everybody goes, you know what? That guy could never have done that by himself. God must be doing it. And God ends up with the glory and the praise. All right, flip over to Galatians chapter 6. This is written to Christians, and I'm going to apply this to a couple of groups today. One group may be the people who are getting sucked back into the world and not even here for that matter. You could be here and getting pulled back in. The other group are the people who are supposed to restore these people and bring them back in. Verse 1, Galatians 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Somebody goes down in the battle, in the line of duty. Somebody gets shot. Somebody gets taken out in some kind of sin. Then he says, if they're caught in a sin, then you who are spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? It simply means someone who is walking in the Spirit. Someone who is connected with God. Their sins are confessed up to date. They're doing the right thing. They're on the right path. They're not better than anybody else. They've just made a decision to take inventory and follow God. Those people are the ones. Now, the problem is when unspiritual people who are really one of the other brothers who's caught in a sin go, if you're one of the brothers caught in a sin and you go to another brother, another sister, family member who's also caught in a sin, it doesn't go over big because they know you're as screwed up as they are. But if you are doing the right thing and you go to someone who's not doing the right thing, your motivation, your heart in the situation is going to be completely different. You're going to go what? It says here, you're going to go and restore him gently. You might have with a spirit of meekness. You're not going to go in there wagging your finger. You go in and say, man, this is, gosh, do you realize what's going to happen? If you keep going this way, this is going to happen. You know, I've been praying for you. I love you. I'm brokenhearted about this. Man, this isn't any fun for you, obviously. And I'm going to try to be gentle, but here's the deal. Here's your situation. You don't want somebody coming in there wagging their finger and grabbing bones and setting them. You want somebody that comes in that you know loves you and cares about you and is going to be sensitive and gentle and say, hey, what are we doing? Where are you going? And it also says here, be very careful lest you also are tempted. Be careful. Let's take somebody with a drug problem. You go in, you may also have a drug problem, so you say, I understand best this person with a drug problem. So this guy out here has got a drug problem. You hear about it, so I'm going to go help him. So you go find him in a crack house somewhere or over wherever he is doing his drugs, and you get in the situation. Your heart in going was to help this person, but when you got in there, you go, boy, that smells familiar. What does that smell? And see, where you went in to help, now you're getting sucked in. Next thing you know, you're going down the tubes too. He says, be very careful, being gentle even going in, that you don't get sucked in the same situation. Because if you're vulnerable, you can get taken out as well. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? Well, if you struggle with something, that's your problem. No, it's not. If somebody struggles with a sin, carry the burden with them. Help them. Give them some accountability. Encourage them. At some point, guys, you're going to have to persevere and stick with it and call and go see them and just hang in there till God gives up and it isn't going to happen, so hang in there. And I pray to God when my day comes that I'm down, somebody comes after me. I went by and saw a friend of mine, went by his office, went in, sat down. I was hosed. I was stuff going on. I sat down with this guy and he said, man, are you okay? He said, you look tired. I said, yeah, long night, the baby's up, all this stuff. And he said, before I left, he said, well, let me pray with you. You know what? I didn't go, well, you know, I'm the pastor. I should be praying for you. I sat there and said, knock yourself out. I didn't say that. That's what I felt. Why? Because there are times when I need that friend of mine to pray for me, and I didn't say, and dear Lord, bless so-and-so. He's been so kind to pray for me. You know what? Just back off. Let somebody care about you. So I let him pray for me. Why? Because I was the one. He was fine. I mean, as far as I could tell, he's an attorney, but other than that, I think he was fine. Somebody bearing one another's burdens. Verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Very interesting verse in the middle of this. Well, I'm somebody. I don't have to, you know. If you think you're somebody, and when you're really nothing, you are deceiving yourself. Verse 4, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Quit looking around saying, well, old so-and-so's a slug and I'm not, so I must be better and that's where I get my value. No. Where you say, you know what, I'm not going to turn out something that's not what it's supposed to be. Each one should test his own actions. You look at your life, you look at your actions and say, am I sincere? Am I the real deal or am I not? See, you might be able to fool a few people, but you can't fool God. And some people even think they can fool God. You're not going to fool God. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Now, guys, the word load in verse 5 is a different word than burden in verse 2. Burden in verse 2 is about sins and struggles. Load in verse 5 is about your responsibility, doing what God made you to do and gave you to do, taking up your responsibility. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Verse 7, now listen close. If you're in the middle of a nap, come back out for just a second. Verse 7, do not be deceived. Now listen, guys, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you are sowing something, whatever you're sowing, you are going to reap that. You say, yeah, but I've gotten away with it for 10 years. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. Now, this seems to be somewhat of a negative. People say, well, you know, you reap what you sow. That is a negative statement. On the other hand, it's one of the most positive statements you'll ever hear as well. The great thing about reaping what you sow is if you sow the right stuff, you're going to reap the right stuff. You say, but I've been sowing the right stuff for all these years. I'm not reaping anything. Everybody else is having a big time. I'm miserable. Let me tell you something. If you sow the right stuff for the right reason, you're not going to have that attitude because you're going to benefit so much from godly living, even if you suffer for doing good, as the Bible says. It is so much better, even if you don't have the stuff they have, to have the joy you have as a result of sowing the right stuff and reaping the right stuff. Now, guys, I'm going to make this as plain and simple as I can. Please pay attention. Verse 8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What do you want? Destruction, eternal life. Pick a plan. You say, well, I don't believe all that. You know, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you believe. You say, what do you mean by that? There are certain things, guys, that whether you believe it or not, they're going to happen, period. You put corn seed in the ground, you're not going to get cherries. Corn's going to come out of the ground. There's just certain things that happen. If you sow to your sinful nature and just whatever, if it feels good, do it. I'm going to live my way. You're bringing destruction upon yourself and your life. Yeah, but I'll be okay. I'll work it out. No, you won't. It just comes in waves. You sow to the flesh, it's destruction. But look what he said again. But if you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So you say, God, I want your way, not my way. I want your plan, not my plan. I've got a life, a track record of doing my way, and look at the things it's destroyed. I can tell you an example right now, a guy I know about, married, kids, saw some sweet young thing at the office, started flirtatious relationship. Long story short, you know what? It doesn't turn out like it does on television. On TV, they just go to commercial. In real life, it's about to destroy, interesting words, destroy his marriage. He's about to lose his marriage. He's already lost his job because he was a supervisor over this person. Now, you say, well, but it'll be okay. Yeah, it might later, guys, but right now, it is not pretty. You say, yeah, but it's not always that way. Usually it works out. I can drive you up street after street, house after house, and show you destruction in people's lives as a result of sin. You say, well, you're coming down hard. Let me tell you something. I am sick of sin in my own life and everybody else's. It doesn't do anything good. And churches that won't talk about it and won't challenge people about it, I don't know what they're thinking or what they're doing. My problem, your problem is sin. And we can go in the last week and document it, graph it on a chart. I chose my way, did this, and this is what it destroyed in my life. And I'm sick of sin. Verse 9, in light of what he said, let us not become weary in doing good. Why? You say, why do the right thing? He just told you why. You reap what you sow. So the next time the devil comes along and says, hey, how about this? Let's go over here and do this. And the smoke and mirrors kick in and he's telling you all this stuff. You say, you know what? I don't know what's up with you, but I've played that game with you forever. I am sick of sin. I'm sick of the consequences you dish out later. And I'm tired of doing the right thing right now, but I'm also tired of getting my butt whipped by you. So I'll tell you what, I'm not going to become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's what verse 9 says. Don't give up. You are so close to making it sometimes. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I'm going to read you one more out. If you're writing these down, you can read it later, the whole context. But 1 Corinthians 15:58, I love this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It pays off. It's worth it. Do the right thing. And if you're sucking air, get a second wind, say, Father, and the word for wind, by the way, has all kind of spiritual connotations in the New Testament. You need a second breath of fresh air to say, God, help me keep going. I've hit a wall and I can't do it. And read Isaiah 40 sometime if you're reading the Old Testament. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's amazing to me how many, especially girls I meet, who wait on God and wait on God and wait on God, and then they get tired of waiting on God and they start compromising, saying, well, I'll never find a man like that. I got all these high expectations. He's not out there. And they start compromising. The guy says, you know what? You don't have sex with me. We can't date. I'm not living without sex. Girls, let me tell you something. If some man tells you that he'll ditch you if there's no sex, you call me. I'll help you write the letter. If some man does not want you and can't wait for whatever period of time it is, get rid of the, what are you thinking?
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, I'm trying to encourage you guys. There's something that wells up inside of me when I talk about this I cannot explain. I am sick of seeing people live like losers who don't have to. Now, if you don't have God in your life, you're in a whole nother context. You are winging it, hanging on by the skin of your teeth. Good luck. And if you're sick of living that way, then say, God, I don't know that I ever knew this, but I believe you love me. Jesus died for me, was buried, shed his blood to pay for my sin. I got heaven offered to me. I got an abundant life offered to me. I've tried it my way. It doesn't work. I don't care what my friends or anybody else says. I am not going to live and die this way. I'm going to give you my life and take yours and do it different. And I'm encouraging you to do that if you've never done it. And if you're a believer, do not give up. Do not grow weary in doing good, guys, because it pays off. The devil's way does not pay. God's way does pay. And somebody paid your way to make it pay. And I haven't found any better way to live than Jesus' way. And I'm not telling you I do it right all the time, but when I do it His way, it is a whole lot better. And some of you are this close to slipping off a slope somewhere. And some of you know people who have slipped off a slope, and you need to pick up your cell phone and call them and say, look, I don't know where you are, what's going on, but I love you and I care what happens to you, and I'm not going to watch you go down the tubes. I care what happens to you. I'll meet you now anywhere you want to meet. That's the kind of people we're supposed to be.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.